That's interesting. This is Katie and Kay Carbondale, Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You're listening to Geek Speak with Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, and with our remote host, Louis Gerardo from Louis the Computer Guy. Oh, I think we just lost him again. Call back in, Louis. So, we'll try that here in a little bit. Let's see here. Where are we going? All right. Support for GeekSpeak comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design to be secure, informed, and connected. Call Louis. Louis will pick up your and deliver your hardware safely and sanitized at 948-7992. Let's see here. So we got all kinds of interesting news in today. Let me try calling Louis back here real quick. Actually, but here we go. He's calling in, I think. You're on with the geeks. Well, we're just having all kinds of technical difficulty. Uh-oh. This is not going to be fun. Let's see here. You're on with the geeks.
Hey, it's me.
There we go.
Yeah.
Got some spotty service in your location?
You know, I think what it is sometimes Wi-Fi calling is not the best thing.
No, it's got to be on a pretty stable connection for sure.
Yes, and that would tell you everything about the connection that I'm on, which is not stable. So.
Yep. Low jitter is very, very useful on that one.
Yeah. So, how are you, Matt?
Oh, just hanging on there. It's been in a crazy couple weeks.
Let's just say well, yeah, that. I saw that you were playing Mr. Mom today.
Yep.
You got a babysitter most of the, or you got a babysitter in late this afternoon?
Yes. So.
Got it. Well, good for you. Haley appreciates it.
Yep. No, I really enjoy hanging out with her. She's so, so awesome.
That's good. All right. So, hey, how much stock did you have in GameStop?
You know, I was just, I do a little bit of day trading, just because it's something to do. And it's interesting. So, you know, I watched the whole thing. I've been reading Wall Street's Bets for maybe 2 months now, just kind of seeing what they're doing, trying to figure out their lingo, trying to translate that into regular stock lingo, and just, general education on how stocks work, short sales and calls and all the other terminology out there. So,
sure.
I wish I would have put a couple $100 in there back when it was $20 a share. That would have been pretty nice.
Yeah, boy.
I
see that it's kind of softened up a little bit, right? Have you seen that? The price has gone down a fair chunk.
Well, and that's an interesting set of problems, really. You know, because some of the other providers are only letting people sell stocks; they're not allowing them to buy them. The company that's in hot water right now was short, you know, they shorted GameStop 140% of the number of shares that exist as GameStop shares. So It's just very interesting that a mob of people on the internet can cause such chaos.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's revealed the underbelly of something that is probably not super fair. At least in my opinion, as a small guy.
As a retail stock trader, as they call them.
Ah, yes. Yes, exactly. So I was reading an article about interview with Elon Musk in which he was asked a bunch of questions about have you heard what Elon Musk's take on what do they call it, options trading?
I saw one of the headlines, but go ahead and refresh my memory.
Well, his take on it is it's a pretty short and sweet, and he basically labels it as a legal scam. Which basically means that he, I guess, doesn't really think that it should continue, but he doesn't argue with the legality of it necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Options trading is too rich for my blood currently and too volatile.
Yeah. So do you have to have pretty deep pockets to do that? And is the reason that this whole thing succeeded, was it kind of a consortium of the members of Wall Street Bets that made it all happen? Or pretty, I mean, how does that work?
Do
they have deep pockets?
With the brokerage I work with, you have to have $25,000 to do options trading. But the GameStop stuff wasn't options trading, I don't believe. I believe that was just straight stock purchases, which you can just order. And some brokerages allow doing fractional purchases. So, like, if you have $100, you can put a whole $100, which would be, you know, $20 a stock would be like 20, you know, be like 20.1 stocks or something.
Okay.
Or 5 point something. Okay. Some of them allow you to do it. It just depends on which brokerage you choose, and there's all kinds of rules. And I don't know a whole bunch of them, but I haven't gotten any complaints from my brokerage yet, so I guess I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Well, you know, I guess I need to read up a little bit more, because I thought that the short sell was all done in an options arena, but I guess I need to learn more about that. So I had a pretty good grip on it, but yeah. I guess
so. So the idea is you lease a stock from somebody, a brokerage per se, somebody who owns the stock, and what they're expecting. And so what you're saying is that, well, I know the stock's going to go down, so you pay interest on the lease of that stock, and you say, well, I'm going to sell it for $100 and I'm expecting it to go down to 80. And then, so you purchase a stock back. So you sell it at 100, purchase it back at 80, hand the stock back to whoever you leased it from, and they get a percentage rate, and depending on the stock, I have no idea how that's calculated, but there's a big chart of all of those. And so you sell it for 100, you buy it back for 80, keep the $20, hand the stock back, and so you've made your $20. That's the short version of how a short sell works. There's some other things that I don't quite understand fully, but that's the short of it as far as I can tell.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I guess it's just one more really complicated thing that you can melt your brain on if you're so inclined. And, you know, like you and I haven't melted our brain on enough esoteric subjects as it is, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought, and actually, do you have anything on your list of things you want to talk about today? I've got a couple of things, but I don't want to steamroll you.
No, I was just, the only thing I saw that was interesting to me anyway, was that VLC, Video Land Client, turned 20 today. So 20 years ago today, VLC, available from VideoLAN.org, which is a great media player, open source. My experience is if it won't play it, chances are you're going to have a hard time finding anything else to play that file.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I would agree. I think VLC is it's bailed me out of a number of really difficult situations.
Yeah. And it'll do some really neat I've done transcoding with it. One of the more interesting ones I've done with it is I used it as a media server, and I did a what is that called? Multi, so basically there's a set of IP addresses where you can multicast addresses. So I set up a private multicast address on a server, and I had like 30 or 40 computers connect to that stream and ran the stream and played it all basically identically at the same time on all the computers at the location.
Wow, that's something else. So I just got a text from our foreign correspondent Donna Dalton, and I think possibly due to some of the phone problems we were having at the beginning of the show, she's having trouble calling in.
So, if you would, let's see here. Would you, let's see, I guess, let me see if I have her number.
Me text you her number, you can call her?
Yeah, text me your number and I will call her on the other line and we'll get her in here.
Perfect, perfect. Okay, so, just a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the article that I came across, the headline that absolutely was like the one of the coolest headlines that I've seen in a long time, was it basically, and I guess it's not a super new article, but it's talking about Elon Musk has basically revealed that they have a product called Neuralink. Are you familiar with this?
No, the one I've been watching of his is Starlink. That one's, but I'm assuming neural interfaces aren't that far off.
Yeah. Well, so this one is basically he's implanting chips in the brains of different animals, and including, so the headline I'm looking at is Elon Musk reveals pig with neural implant. And basically the idea of the project, or the goal of the project, is to basically help restore certain capabilities and functionalities to people who have severed serious brain injuries and such. And they've also put one in a monkey. And so I guess, you know, it kind of begged the question to me that if I was to get a neural implant, what would I want it to do for me? And that's just and I haven't pondered it, so I don't have an answer for you. but the verbiage of this, he's talking about this, the monkey. They had a monkey that could control video games via a brain implant. And Elon says he's totally happy. He does not look like an unhappy monkey. you can't even see where the neural implant was put in, except that he's got like a slight dark mohawk. It's not uncomfortable. It doesn't look weird. So anyway, So
I have Donna on the bus.
Do you?
Yeah, she should be here.
Yes. Hi there, Louie. Hi there, Matt. How's it going?
Going great.
Good. I have a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
I am wondering, you know what? I set up that contract tracing on my iPhone, and I've never gotten any kind of notifications. Have you guys, or did you ever set it up?
I have not set it
up. Contract tracing for COVID? Oh, you didn't. Okay.
I think Louie did, though.
Yeah, I have set it up, and I think I've gotten maybe one notification from it, but it was more of an informational. It wasn't to tell me that I'd been in contact with somebody, but it was more, you know, just confirmed to me that it'd been set up properly, so I guess.
Oh, good. I have another good question. So maybe I just haven't been in contact with anybody, which could be the case.
that's what we want for you.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. So. Although it's been a year now, it's kind of weird, like not being able to, you know, hug people. It's very, very strange. Really, it's very strange, you know, living alone in that particular way, but certainly manageable.
Yeah.
My other question is, you know, I have this... I have all my house is wired for speakers, you know, in the ceiling. So I have four pairs of ceiling speakers, and they all come to one, you know, location in my, family room. And I was thinking about hooking up my stereo, but my question is, my receiver, of course, only really has like kind of one speaker output. And I wasn't quite sure, is there like a easy way to connect them all? I don't have a wall panel yet or anything. You guys know that much about AV stuff?
So there's a couple things. Firstly, so you'll want to see, figure out. So do you have an ohmmeter laying around somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what you'll want to do is look at the ohm rating on, so basically it'll say 2 to 8 ohm stable or something like that on the back of the, on the back of your receiver.
Okay.
Or you have to look it up in the manual, one or the other. And so what you'll do is you'll figure out which pairs of wires go to which speakers, and you can use a 9-volt battery and hear the speaker click.
Well, I know which wires go to which speaker.
Okay. So what you'll want to do is put an ohm meter on the speaker, or on the, you know, on the pair of wires that you know that are a pair, and see what it is.
Okay.
It'll either be 4, 8. There's a few 6-ohm systems. You'll have, but those are pretty rare. Those are kind of, it's a particular brand that does that. And then you just want to make sure that the impedance, which is the, you know, 4 or 8 ohms, is rated, that your receiver is rated for that. And then you can plug it in.
Okay.
And then you can, and then you can do things like series parallel. And there's some other things there where you can either make it 4 or 8 ohms, depending on which wire, which speakers you wire together and how you wire them together.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
That helps. Yeah.
That's some pretty good stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got to look at all this stuff, and because, you know, my stereo equipment is all really good stuff, and I don't want to, and so is the,
yeah,
you know, Sonance and Klipsch, and my receivers are really good, so I don't want to, I definitely want to make sure I'm doing it correctly. So.
Yep.
Well, very good. Listen, I'm going to listen to the rest of the show, but one more thing I was going to tell you is I was looking on katieandkate.org, and, you know, I noticed your guys' picture. Maybe in the background you should get an iPhone with a FaceTime photo of me, like, just, you know, like, surreptitiously in the background. Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, we can do a FaceTime on the iPad or something.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, thanks. I'll talk to you guys.
All right, you're welcome.
Hey, Donna.
Okay. Yeah, Donna. Yep.
Before the next show, I want you to think about, I don't know if you heard us talking about the pig with the neural implant, but before the next show, I want to know, if you got a neural implant, what would you want it to do for you? So.
Oh, okay, definitely. Okay,
so
think about that.
You got 2 weeks. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, take care, Donna.
Thanks, Donna.
All right.
I'd say call in, but Louie's on the line.
Well, how did she get in? Did you call her?
I called her on the second line, yes.
Oh, you're good job, man. So, well, yeah, they're just going to have to listen to us today.
Yep.
That's just how it goes.
So,
yep. So, let's see. We talked to Brian about brain implants, and we talked about, I had meant to ask Donna, because, you know, when Donna mentioned Robinhood at our last show, that was the first time I'd even heard of it. And, just is more of an indication of how checked out I am sometimes, you know, just so working in the trenches, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
Yep.
So, yeah. So let's see. We talked about, so I guess, have you heard this story about there's a bunch of space tourists?
I did see that story. It was $5 million a pop to go to the International Space Station or something like that.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, it's like people are living in completely different realities than me. It's like one of the guys has a couple of small children. And I don't know about you, but I mean, when I had small children, the last thing on my mind would have been, you know, to like get on a spaceship and go to this International Space Station for $5 million.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that one for a little while. Although if you have $5 million, you might have enough insurance that you can set them up, but I'd rather watch my daughter grow up at this point.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a certain amount of risk involved, but, you know, there's also the matter of, you know, I mean, our partners count on us to get up and do things like change diapers in the middle of the night. And, you know, I just couldn't help but think that wonder how popular that would be with his wife.
Yeah, I wonder what the, I know with the the space shuttle, the odds of catastrophic failure were approximately 2%.
Uh huh.
So it's like, so you can go up there, you know, 50 times, and, you know, it's, the chances of, you know, it's like half, you know, it's 50-50 chance that you're going to have a failure at that point.
Got it.
So, and I don't know what the, I can't remember what SpaceX's, was it Dragon something or other? I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I think it's called Dragon X.
Dragon X is their capsule and everything. So I don't know what the...
That's Dragon Ball Z, sorry. I got an old video game relapse there. But, no, you know, it's actually a really funny little story. I had never watched a space shuttle launch in my life. And one day, you know, back in the early 80s, I got up one morning and CNN was teasing that they were going to be showing the space shuttle launch. And I said, well, I'm going to sit down and watch me a space shuttle launch. And that was the Challenger launch.
Oh, no.
And so for superstitious reasons, I don't watch rocket launches anymore.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to be responsible for another disaster like that. So.
If you get a chance to do it in person, I would highly recommend it. It's we went and saw STS-135, which was the last night launch of the space shuttle.
I'll bet a night launch is just amazing.
It was amazing. I really would like to go down to Texas and or California and see one of the SpaceX to the Heavy or something take off and come back. That would be pretty amazing to see.
Yeah, wow. That would absolutely be something else. The only thing that crossed my mind is it better than a monster truck rally? That's all I want, you know.
Short answer, yes.
Okay.
I've been to
Have you been to a monster truck?
Yeah, we went to the one at the Pepsi Center. So
got it.
It was a lot of fun. It was neat to watch everything. But the space shuttle definitely won that one.
Got it. Okay, so they packed into, you know, what, about 3 minutes, what the monster truck rally took, like, all night long to get done, right?
That'd probably be like a tenth of a percent or a hundredth of a percent of the energy released in the you know, one versus the other.
Got it. Okay. Well, hey, what else is going on in the tech world? Do you have any new toys that you're playing with, or?
I'm still learning the iPad. Picked up one of those around Christmas and finally getting moved into it. I'm trying to decide if I want to get the fancy keyboard and docking station for it or not, but it's $300.
Ah,
so
got it. Okay,
but I have my VPN system, my private email, my stock trading, my code repository. I have all my stuff on there, my cryptocurrency ticker, Zoom meetings. I've just kind of been loading it up with everything. So,
okay.
And my invoicing.
Yep. Well, I'm glad you came back from the dark side, man. So,
it's been
the Apple side.
Well, it's been good. I'll have to say it's interesting because I'm switching between iOS or iPadOS and Android, it's just interesting. There's some usability things that I really appreciate on the Android phone, and then there's some usability things I really appreciate on the iPad. It's like, well, can't we just cross-pollinate this? If we had the, you know, the nice usability things on Android on the iPad, vice versa, you know, you'd have a very friendly interface to deal with.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe on the next show we can talk about what things you're referring to that you like so much on the Android platform, because I had a client give me an Android phone with, you know, the purpose, just basically she said, you know, just wipe it and send it to Tech Recycle. And it's like an S7, but it has a broken camera lens.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, woohoo, I'm going to wipe it and then I'm going to use it as a test bed to like kind of bone up on my Android. And quite honestly, I spent about 20 minutes with it, and I was like, I can't take this.
Okay, we'll have to compare notes before the next show.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So, you've been listening to Geeks. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KD&K. I'm your host, Matt McGreer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, remote with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Matt, thank you so much for running the board. I'm sorry I couldn't be there, but I'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, see you in 2 weeks on the third Monday.
All right.
Be safe out there.
Take care, man.
You too.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Santiago, Cuba, 2001. Some friends and I were invited to attend a bembe, a religious celebration based on the worship of Afro-Cuban deities. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet. The name bembe is also used to describe a genre of music and a kind of drum. This celebration took place in a private home, where the living room had been turned into a shrine filled with offerings of food. There were drummers, singers, and those who danced and sometimes became possessed by a spirit of the gods. One of the drummers told me that occasionally people faked getting possessed. Well, how can you tell? I asked. And he said, when they can eat broken glass, we know they're not faking. Santiago, Cuba. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond.
Good evening. It's 4:59, and you're listening to KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh. I'll be your host through the news hour. Stay tuned for NPR's All Things Considered. Coming right up, and KDNK local and regional news at 5:34.